12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? It's the latest book from Bear Wozniak. And last week we talked about the introduction. And this week, the prologue, All My Heroes Were Cowboys. Famous song from Willie Nelson. I know it well. And I think you and I both, with our love of Montana and the Great Plains and Western movies and books, that, our heroes early on growing up were cowboys. We looked up to those people and that level of manliness that they carried so well.
You know, when I was in Boise last time, I know we first met when you were in Boise, and we got together the night before the gala. A few guys were going to get together for cigars, and like 75 guys showed up, sold out that cigar place. And then the next morning, a few of us were going to go ride motorcycles. And 70 guys showed up to ride motorcycles. And I wanted to go for 2 or 3 hours. It was like a 7-hour ordeal, you know. But at one point, I was sitting there, and this sinewy older gentleman came up, and he had a cowboy buckle on, and his wife's with him. He said, "Are you a cowboy?" And he goes, "Well, I've always worked on ranches." And then, actually, that was the night before that we had that conversation. Then, when we did the ride, they drove the escort truck with all the water and supplies. And I asked him, are men today anything like the cowboys of the past? Because here he is with a bunch of tough riding bikers, you know. His wife said to me, "Men today aren't anything like men in the past." And that was really a sad statement. It really is like that Paula Cole song, you know, "Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?" And and when we go to speak to mixed groups, you know, because I speak a lot at men's events, just where there's just men, the women, specifically when we were there with you, the women met us at the car before we could even get out of the car. And they said, "Please tell the men we need for them to be men. We want them to be men." Yeah. So, yeah, there's a call. There's a return to that cowboy, you know, toughness. I think you think of the cowboy as someone who rides for the brand, long hours, speaks little, but says a lot, you know,
like St. Joseph.
That's so great. You know, they Joseph. I hate to say this because it blows people's perception, but in the Bible, it doesn't say Jesus was a carpenter. It says he was a builder. He was a technoch. And when you go to Israel, you realize there aren't a lot of carpenters there because there aren't any trees.
There's no trees.
Yeah, the prime minister's house is the only house, I think, made out of wood. So it's more likely that he was a mason, that he cut into that limestone rock. And, you know, like Mary's home was in a cave. There was a cave there, but then they would cut into the cave more and take the rock out and build a wall out, you know, from the cave. So, dude, Joseph and Jesus were strong men, and their hands were calloused. But you don't hear a lot about Joseph speaking a lot in the Bible, which is a cowboy thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't do a lot. Huh, I never thought of that. That's cool.
We're talking with Bear Wozniak this morning on The Morning Blend about his new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Enjoyed your motorcycle-based EWTN television series, The Long Ride Home. And bikers have a lot in common with cowboys. You'd mentioned the Rosary Ride that we sponsored here in Boise when you were here several years ago. Maybe talk about the parallels between bikers and cowboys.
That's so cool that you say that, you know. Yeah, well, bikers are a brotherhood. In fact, in my book, someplace I mentioned some of the biker code. Like, you know, when you see a biker on the side of the road, you're always going to pull over and help them. And like me, I know nothing about motorcycles. My job to pull over and tell them I don't know anything about motorcycles, you know, or something. But I'm not that kind of a. I always thought I wanted to be a good mechanical person, but I found out I'm just good at getting estimates, you know, because I'm a CPA. But there is that biker code. There's a respect that's expected and that's given, and they ride hard. You know, like one of our members of the Man Cave, you know, School of Manliness, we have a man cave there the men can join. Charlie Farrell just rode like 3,700 miles, I think, in 13 days with his men. From the East Coast all the way down to Needles and all the way back to Sturgis. And all along the way, they said over 30 opportunities to witness.
Oh, wow.
So these are men that there's and there's a lot of solitude on the motorcycle. You know, you're not chatting away with someone. You just be yelling at them, right? So that solitude. And so a lot of the men use that time for prayer and for praying the rosary and digging the gnats out between their teeth.
Well, you're just riding a different horse. We think about the cowboys from the 19th and early 20th century out there in the desert riding a horse. The bikers are just riding a mechanical horse.
Yeah, I mean, it's a saddle. We have saddlebags.
Yep.
It's loud, though. But you know what? A cowboy, when we ride into town, it kind of strikes a little fear into people, you know. And I'm a member of Sons of Hawaii, former member of the Sons of Hawaii Motorcycle Club. And men don't strike fear into people anymore. And to a certain extent, a man needs to be dangerous. He needs to not exude like I'm a bad person, but he needs to exude that he's not to be messed with, that he's not a victim, that if anything happens, he's going to be the one that's going to, save the day. I know, like Doug Barry and I had it happen a few times where we go into a restaurant to sit down and we both go for the alpha chair. I'm sure you do too. There's certain chairs where you can see the rest of the restaurant. Or wherever you are, you're standing in a room so that no danger is going to come to you from behind. And you're watching out for your family. But when you're a man like with you, I wouldn't mind having my back to people because I know you've got my back. You're watching, you're observing. So men are supposed to be dangerous. There's supposed to be a sense about them. That's not a victim. That's not someone I want to mess with. And I don't want to mess with his family. Even in the book, I discuss that every man needs to know how to fight. I mean, every man has a different personality and a different method and approach, but every man needs to have a plan of how to protect himself and his family. It's like when you're in an airplane, they say, get the airbag on your face first and then protect your family. You really almost have to do that. If you say, well, I don't want to hit somebody if they're fighting me, if someone takes you out, they take out your whole family.
Right.
Men need to have a plan in their home and wherever they are. I'm trained in many martial arts, I'm a second degree ninja black belt, which isn't a sport, it's a deadly art. And so it always, as I'm walking along, Cindy and I do a dance as we walk along the streets. If there's some thug walking along, we kind of switch paths, and she knows never to go near a van. She knows not to walk near bushes. You know, there's a spatial awareness of that. So a man needs to be dangerous. You know, and a biker exudes that, a cowboy exudes that. So it's kind of that silent danger. It's not a danger that says, I'm going to provoke a fight, but it's a kind of thing that says, don't provoke a fight with me.
Yeah, I'm not going to start it, but I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, and most punks are like that. They're looking for a victim. That's why a man needs to be dangerous in the spiritual realm, too.
I know we're going to talk about this in the weeks ahead, Bear, but you do talk here in the prologue about a personal creed and a cowboy code as we finish up this week to talk about that, why that's important for men.
John Wayne said, I don't know, maybe it was Augustine plagiarized John Wayne, John Wayne said, probably it was a Louis L'Amour quote, actually, but he said, every man's got to have a creed, a code he can live by. And to me, a creed and a code are two different things. I remember what my dad taught me, every time I started a job, he said, write down your code for that job. And I always made it my number one goal was to help my boss be successful. Changes your whole attitude about stuff. But my hero, as a boy, Duke Hanamoku, there's a statue just a block away from here. And he had a creed. His creed was aloha. And the word aloha means to give love. It means to give breath, actually. And so, he said, everyone I meet with aloha. So he had a creed. So my creed is that the most radical quest a man can pursue is to abandon himself to the wild adventure of God's will. But then you have to have a code to live by. And that's why we have the 12 rules. The creed is a one sentence statement, but then how are you going to live that out?
And again, in the weeks ahead, we are going to spend 1 week per rule because these rules they're deep, they're important for our culture at this time, and we need guys to man up. So next week, it's rule number one, know your creed, live by your code. People want to get a hold of 12 Rules for Manliness, Bear, where can they go?
Well, we'd like to invite them to come to schoolofmanliness.com, join the man cave, because we use that book in our sessions and ask the men to consider using this book with their men's group. But they can go to anywhere, amazon.com, EWTN catalog, Catholic bookstores. It's still in Barnes and Nobles and all those, if there's any of those left around. It's in those bookstores too. So yeah, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? You should get it for yourself and for your sons. Absolutely. And even their daughters who are coming of age should read this so they really know, how to, in their mind, clearly what they want in a man.
Well, thanks for joining us today on The Morning Blend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, aloha.